You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
There's so much going on at Blenko Resources at the moment. The company is developing the Oram Cross Graphite project in Uganda. And here to talk about it today, we're joined by, for the first time, Chief Operating Officer Ian Waring and Mike Ralston, a more familiar face to the Vox platform, also joins us. So first of all, I think it's worth mentioning that Ian has recently invested substantially into Blenko himself, which is obviously a very positive sign, and investors can read into that some pretty meaningful interpretations, I would say. So, Ian, what is the current program about, and why is Blenko doing what it's doing?
Currently, we're sort of finalising the feasibility study, and we've made sort of great progress towards the end of it. We've finished the engineering side of things internally in Uganda. We've got all the infrastructure stuff done in terms of the roads and the power reports. We've got most of the engineering for the plant completed. So what we've got to do now is just basically write that up. At present, we're finalising the drill program. We've commissioned 7,000 metres of the drilling. We've finalised the drilling on the for the geotech, which will give us the final parameters for the mine designs. We're working on those. We'll have the results for the geotechnical parameters sort of by the end of the week or start of next week. And we've got assays that are in progress at the moment at Mwanza to finalise the infill drilling. And we're now finalising the last 40 holes on the resource extensions, which is the Beehive and the western limb on the northern syncline, which we're pretty excited about because the drill holes themselves are still showing sort of extensive intersections of ore all the way down through the bottom of the drill hole. As most people know, we've stopped the drilling at 30 metres, which is the oxide layers, because 30 metres of drilling over this area gives us sort of 20 plus years of mining. So we don't need to go much deeper than that at the moment. And it gives us also then very good and very low operating costs through the oxide materials. It's quite an exciting time where we're just about ready to wrap up the DFS.
So there is upside here, though, isn't there? I mean, you could go deeper if you wanted to, Ian, at Northern Syncline and Beehive. I mean, what would it mean if you did go down to, say, 100 plus metres?
What we've got currently planned is we're going to put down about 6 drill holes down to 100, 120 metres, trying to drill through to the basement of the ore bodies themselves. It hasn't been done in previous drill programs. A couple of the early holes went down to 100, 120 metres and still showed ore all the way down. So obviously what we'd like to try and do is firm that up in the Beehive in the Northern Syncline, the western limb of the Northern Syncline, that it's still there, and to try and find the base of this. At the moment, we're estimating it goes down to 100 metres. It could go to 120, it could go to 140, which, sort of just makes the
extrapolates
whole
numbers
project a lot
considerably.
more exciting, a lot larger than what we originally thought it was.
Yeah. I think, Alistair, it's the extrapolation of the numbers. We've sort of talked about a 2 to 3 billion ton estimated resource, and you can never drill that out because it just takes lifetimes and a lot of money to do that. And you just sort of stick with, whatever is 10, 20 years of life of mine ahead of you. But by dropping holes much deeper and proving the graphite continues, it just shows the size and scale of Oran Cross if we're successful. And that obviously provides the evidence that this is a world-class deposit. So we're very interested to see what happens.
So now let's turn to offtake then. First of all, qualification. Ian, perhaps you could tell me what this means in terms of getting offtake and results on offtake.
A lot of the off-takers now sort of have a very, very high quality product that they produce for the different applications. We've been through a series of extensive test work with a lot of the off-takers at the moment, in both in Europe, the US, and it's still ongoing. We've had some success. We're having some more success with off-takers. Everybody likes the product. It performs well in all avenues. It not only does it perform well in terms of the battery technology, it performs well in terms of the thermal technologies, and it also performs well in terms of so we found out in terms of the graphene technologies. There's a lot of different applications and a lot of different markets we're chasing other than just the EV market. We find that that's where the value will be, and that's where things are progressing and moving on to.
So, Mike, you and I have talked about the connections the company already has into the EU, but tell us about the sort of wider implications of US, EU, and UK off-takers in terms of the funding support that might be available.
We have done a lot of work to sort of fall back on the likes of DFC, who we already have obviously the grant and hopefully have a future funding solution with them. But EIB and AFC and other banks who are all interested in this, they all want to be involved in the US and in the EU in particular. They want offtake relationships into those jurisdictions, which makes sense because they're obviously not giving people money for nothing. So it's vital to get offtakers in the EU if you want to get EU support or in the US to get their support. So we're working on all of the above. And as Ian said earlier, we're just going through a process where we send them samples and they do their work. And obviously, if everybody likes what they see, then we move forward into contracts.
Ian, tell us about plans to step up production from 10,000 tons a year to 50,000 tons a year, and also the implications for offtake in that regard.
Well, so initially, I mean, we'd like to get up and running and set all the processes into place, have our quality processes all lined up. So we'll start at 10,000 tons. That'll set the market up. It's also a nice round number to enter the market. We've got all that material basically sold already in sort of the non-bindings. And as we're doing that, it gives us a cash flow while we build and construct the 50,000 ton plant. So the 50,000 ton plant then also then feeds into the uncoated SPG plant, on which we'll which is a phase two or phase three component, and we'll work from that. So it's a case of slow and steady at a time, not biting off too much more than you can chew, and ramp it up as the market progresses and the market likes the product and wants more of the product, and it's easy then to step up in modules from there. So after that mod, after the 50,000 ton module, there's plans to then step up again into another 50,000 ton, another 50,000 ton. It's easy to take it up in that size. It keeps the capital low. It keeps the plant similar to what people will be used to at that stage. And it also provides a good feed into the SPG plant.
So let's talk about how Oram Cross compares to other graphite projects then. First of all, Ian, perhaps you could draw some comparisons or at least highlight the attractiveness of Oram Cross in terms of the project fundamentals. I'm thinking of OpEx, CapEx, the jurisdiction, perhaps, any other factors that you think are worth highlighting here?
The jurisdiction is it's a Uganda is a nice safe place to work. Yes, they do have some issues, but look, it's a mining is not a big industry within Uganda. We're taking them along for the ride as well, and instructing them, and they're learning, and they're really keen to have a good Western practice and a good Western company come in and set it up properly and show people what to do. So it's a safe, nice environment to work in, and that everybody's keen, everybody wants the project. Everybody in the government is supportive of the project, so that's a bonus as well. And they're doing all they can to help us with the infrastructure and help us to get up and running. So things like building the access road from 90 kilometers from Kitgum to the main tarmac, that's a big thing. Giving us sort of discounts on power, helping us. There's programs to help us to connect to the grid power. So all those things keep the costs low. So operating costs are sort of in the lower quartile of similar projects that are been proposed within Eastern Africa. Our CapEx is a lot lower than most, due to the fact that we have the government support in terms of starting to bring that sort of those capital infrastructure works online for us to get up and running.
So you mentioned the DFC there, Mike. Finally, to close us out here, perhaps you could just flesh out a little bit more about your various partnerships that you have. You've got the DFC, the AFC, there are others that you're involved with too. Perhaps you could just tell us a little bit more about those.
We're exploring all different relationships. I don't think anything's ever for certain in terms of funding mining projects. And while it is on the day it's all signed and sealed and the money's in your bank account, but up until that point, we're going to build as many relationships as we can, as many different options as we can. DFC giving us the grant was all about them being involved in the project implementation as a debt provider down the line. And we still hope that they will be. And it makes sense because we fulfill a lot of their criteria in terms of critical mineral supply chain, energy transition, developing underdeveloped countries, etc. DFC are there. African Finance Corporation have shown interest. We announced a letter of intent earlier this year, and they remain interested to work with us, as do many other players. EIB are interested because we're involved in the Safe Loops project. And so we're going to continue to work with them. And others. We're trying to get ourselves a UK off-taker so we can start working with the UK government as well. That's another exciting avenue that we hope to have some more news soon. But really, at the end of the day, it's about providing a solution for the short-term P1 production, which is going to happen as fast as we possibly can once the feasibility study completes. And then moving into that ramped-up phase, which Ian was talking about earlier, where we have a bigger Oram Cross production story, and with that, a downstream processing story. And we'll build a funding strategy for both of them, and ultimately something that makes a lot of sense. So I can't really say much more than that, other than when we've got the DFS completed, we will start really pushing hard to get those funding solutions done and dusted.
Mike Ralston, Ian Waring, thanks very much for joining us today, and we look forward to more exciting news from Blanco in due course.
Thanks,
Thanks,
Alistair.
Alan.
Nice to be here.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.